So we're on Daf Chav Dalid Amid Beis, and let's just review what we know. We have here a Mishnah. I meant to say Chav Dalid Amid Aleph. We have here a Mishnah that records two cases in which a woman does not drink from Mei Merarim in the Reish of the Mishnah, and that's Arusa and Shomeres Yovam. So the Gemara was medayek, very carefully reading the Mishnah, that Mishtehu Delo Shasye, that she doesn't drink, but that's the only exclusion from the Parsha of Sota. All the other elements of the Parsha of Sota are in place. And that means Hakinui Mekanila, that the Yavam, or in this case the Arus, could give her Kinui a warning. And if she violates that warning, she can no longer resume her relationship. She loses her Ksuba. So how do we know this? Because once the Torah has excluded these ladies from the Parsha of Sota, because it says in the Pasuk, as the Mishnah quotes it, Asher Tiste Isha Tachas Isha, that the Parsha only applies to a woman who's fully married, right? A total Isha, as we said, 100%, as opposed to the cases of an Arus and Shemeres Yavam. Well, once they're not included in the Parsha of Sota, maybe we should exclude them from Kinui as well. We need a special ribui to teach us that they're included in the Parsha of Sota except for the culmination, that the drinking of the Mei Merarim, which means that she's Asura al Baila, or Asura on the Yavam, and she forfeits her Ksuba. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Daber el Bnei Yisrael via Marta. And the Gemara assumes that this word v'amarta is an extra word, it's superfluous, and it's coming for a ribui. L'rabos arusa v'shameres yavam l'kinui. It's teaching us that in both these cases where there's no shtia, there's no drinking from the Mei Merarim, but nevertheless they are included in the law of kinui. So if the arus warns his arusa, the yavam warns his yavama, and she violates that warning, then she becomes Asura, she can no longer live with the Arus, she cannot be married to him, she can no longer fall for Yibum and be married to this Yavam, and he's going to have to divorce her, and in addition, she loses her Ksuba. So the Kinui sets into motion the entire Parsha of Sota, with one exception, and that's the Shtia of Mei Merarim. She will not be given the opportunity to prove and establish her innocence because she's excluded based on that drasha of Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha. Isha means a full-fledged wife, prat to the exclusion of Arusa and Shomeres Yavam, and that's as far as Shasiya is concerned. And then we started the machlokes between Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia. That was the last thing we discussed yesterday, so let's go over that today. Masnisin Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rav Yonasan. It's Rav Yonasan who's going to exclude both an Arusa and a Shomeres Yavam from Shtia, from drinking from the Mei Merarim. That's Rav Yonasan. You will see that Rav Yoshia disagrees, and he has a special ribui to include Shomeres Yavam. That Shomeres Yavam is included in Shasiya, and he only agrees that the Arusa is excluded, but our Mishnah says that both the Arusa and the Shomeres Yavam are excluded from Shasiya, because our Mishnah reflects the Shita Rav Yonasan. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, and the Braisa starts with this Drasha, which is called Tachas Ishech. Now please notice that Tachas Ishech is not the same pasuk that we had in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha. Here is an additional pasuk which is Tachas Ishech. And these two psukim both appear in the Parsha of Sota. One appears a little bit earlier than the other. And you can actually see this, for example, if you have the what we call the Torah or HaShalem here. He quotes all the psukim. And there's one pasuk that says, "Asher tista isha tachas isha." Just one second. Where is that here? You'll see this. That's the last pasuk in this very long list of Torah or Asholim on Chav Gimel Amibay. Zos Torahs Haknos Ashatista Isha Tachas Isha V'nitma. And then on the next page, the first pasuk is Daber Bnei Sarmatalem Ish Ish Ki Tiste Ishto Umola B'mal. So both these psukim appear in Bamidbar Hay. One is pasuk Yudbeis, and the other is pasuk Chav Tes. So if you have a chumash, you'll see it inside. You don't have to rack your eyes here to try to read this small print here. We had a chumash here yesterday, but I don't see it today. So what do we learn from this pasuk Tachas Ishech? The word Ishech here means a woman who is Tachas. Tachas means she's living with you. She's married to you. Prat la'arusa. La'arusa is not married to you. She's not living with you. She is in her father's rishus. And that excludes the arusa from mei merarim, from shesia. From shitiya, from drinking from the mei merarim. Yochel, I might think, shani motzi af shomeris yavam. I might think that, again, keep in mind, it's a little tricky because we're trying to find Rav Yonasan, but first the Brisa presents the Shita of Rav Yoshia, so let's not get confused. Yesterday, somebody confused me about that, but today I'm a little more on the ball. Yachal ani motzi af shomeris yavam. I might say, well, you know what, if an arusa doesn't drink, because she's not considered tachas isheich, let's apply the same logic to a Shomeris Yavam. She's not living together with the Yavam. You know, she's an Almana, she lost her husband. She's living alone. She's not living under his jurisdiction, so it's not Tachas Yishech Talmud Lomar. And here we have a Ribui, Ish Ish, which means that when the Torah opens up the Parsha here, it says, Daber Bnei Yisrael Matolem Ish Ish. So why the extra Ish? And that superfluous word is coming as a ribui. And it's coming to be marbe, according to Rav Yoshia, the case of Shomeris Yavam. Divrei Rav Yoshia. So in the opinion of Rav Yoshia, although the Mishnah is half correct, but it's not totally correct, he agrees with the Mishnah as far as Arus is concerned. She doesn't drink, but as far as Shomeris Yavam is concerned, she does drink. And now the Brisa quotes Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan Omer Tachas Ishech, that we have the pasuk that we began with, Tachas Ishech. The only thing is that Rabbi Yoshia, in the first opinion here in this Brisa, he derived from Tachas Ishech the exclusion of Arusa. But Rabbi Yonasan is going to say that Tachas Ishech is Prat L'Shomeres Yavam. It's coming to exclude a Shomeres Yavam. And the reason for that is that whenever you have a chidush, then you take the least chidush, the lowest chidush. So the lowest chidush is Shomeres Yavam. Okay. Now, Otsi Shomeres Yavam velo Otsi es Arusa. Is it possible that an Arusa would drink? Talmud Lomar Asher Tista Isha Tachas Isha. That was the other pasuk that we had, which was quoted in our Mishnah, and that teaches me Prat La Arusa, that Arusa doesn't drink. So basically, to sum Rabbi Yonasan's perspective, which is the Mishnah's perspective, there are two miutim, two exclusions. One is a miut to exclude Shomeris Yavam, and then there's another miut to exclude Arusa. However, Rav Yoshia only has one of these two exclusions, which he uses to exclude the Arusa, but in fact he has a ribui ish ish to add, to include a Shomeris Yavam, that she is included in Shesia. And as we'll see, I'm just, you know, giving you a little bit of a heads up here. What we're going to see here is that Rav Yoshia considers a Shomeris Yavam to be almost a married woman. And she's so close to being married a woman, that the that the Ishus is enough to put her into the full-fledged parsha of Sota, even as far as drinking the Mei Merarma is concerned. Because Rav Yoshia, as the Gemara is going to explain, he sees a Shomer's Yavam as a woman who's very, very close to full-fledged Ishus, and there's no reason to exclude her. Again, we're going to have to know that the final inclusion of Shomer's Yavam is based on the ribuy of Ish-Ish, but Ish-Ish is really, according to Rav Yoshia, just a what we call a Gili Milsa. Gili Milsa means just to set the record straight, that we should know, which is something that we could have known on our own, that a Shomer Siyovim is basically an Ishus. It's a Zikas Ishus, which is so complete that she's included in the parasha of Sota, in the full sense, meaning even as far as drinking the Mei Merarim are concerned. Correct? So now we have an analysis. The Gemara is going to analyze this machlokes. And as I said yesterday, the Gemara used the word mar twice. Mar is a pronoun. So you never know who this mar is. Mm-hmm. It's like saying he said, well, who is the he? So we're going to have to work this out. Mar, according to him, alima le arusa. Arusa is considered Ishus. Alima means she's stronger. She's a stronger Ishus. Her Ishus is closer. It really inches up to full-fledged Ishus. This is going to be Rabbi Yonasan, because Rabbi Yonasan is going to say that we need a special pasuk to exclude Arusa. If you recall, Rabbi Yonasan had two psukim. The first pasuk he used to exclude Shomer's Yavam, because Shomer's Yavam is a lesser chidush that she's not included. She's hardly Ishus, but Arusa is really full-fledged Ishus, or almost full-fledged Ishus, and therefore I need another pasuk to exclude her, because if in the absence of the second pasuk, I would have assumed that she's like a regulation Ishus, she's included in Shasiya. So therefore, he needs a second pasuk, which was tachas ishech. So, in other words, if I understand correctly, let me just try this out on you. According to Rabbi Yonasan, the case of an arusa is called alimole. Alimale means that it's very close to being full-fledged Ishus. And again, he's going to give two reasons why. Just one second. Ishut. Again, I can only repeat that a million times. Ishut is the relationship between a husband and a wife. Again, it's a very difficult concept. As I told you over and over again, Ishut is not an all or nothing proposition. You know, it's a gradual level by level. So there are many different levels of Ishut. And the Arusa level is very, very, very close. You remember I drew a picture for you of that thermometer, so to speak, that goes up from 0 to 100. And according to Rav Yonasan, an Arusa is like 99. You know, she's like almost up there on top. For the two reasons that we're going to see in just a moment. Now, why is that significant? What's the import here of saying that, according to Rav Yonasan, the Arusa Ishus is almost a complete Ishus? What it means is that, just one second. Tachas Ishech. Arusa Yochani Motzi. I'm sorry. I keep making the same mistake. Rabbi Yonasan was the one who said that Tachas Ishech is coming to exclude Shomeres Yavam. Because again, we're always, at first round, we're always going to exclude a woman who has less Ishus. And in the equation, in the comparison between Arusa and Shomeres Yavam has less issues. And therefore, if the Torah says Tachas Ishech, it's going to be to the exclusion of Shomeres Yavam. But at this point, I might say, well, let's include an Arusa. Right? Otzi Shomeres Yavam, velo Otzi is Arusa. Because in the case of an Arusa, we have just a hair's breadth less than full-fledged Isha, so therefore she should be included in the drinking of the Meimarara. And for that he needs a second miut, a second exclusion. On top of the exclusion of Tachas Ishech, he needs the exclusion of Isha Tachas Isha. Now why is it, what advantage does Arusa have in comparison to Shomeres Yavam that would put Arusa higher up on the Ishus list? So as I said, there are two answers to that question. Number one is the Kedushi Didei, and number two is Solklin Al Yado. That this Ishus was established through a Maisa Kedushin, an act of Kedushin that was implemented by the Mekadesh together with the Miskadeshes, and they together created Ishus. So if they, by virtue of their mutual agreement, where they were excited about getting married, and they went through with a Maisa, with an action to clinch that marriage relationship, then that's Ishus. That's what marriage relationship is all about. And I'll prove it to you, he says, furthermore, because if somebody would have a relationship with this woman, that would be considered adultery, and the punishment for that would be skila, it would be a capital punishment. That's the shita of Rabbi Yonasan. That's the Mar. Umar, but now we talk about Rav Yoshia, Alimalei Shomeres Yavam. He thinks that on the scale of Ishus, a Shomeres Yavam, what we call Zika, is that much closer, is that much further towards the top of full-fledged Ishus than Arusa. Why? Because there's no need to create another kinyan, as we spoke about yesterday, in order to clinch the Ishus. Now, at this point, we have to go back to the drushos, to the various psukim. And first the Gemara is going to ask a question on Rabbi Yonasan. Why? Because if you recall, Rabbi Yoshua and the Braisa had a ribui to include a Shomeres Yavam. What was that ribui? It says Ish Ish. So the extra Ish was coming to include a Shomeres Yavam. Now Rabbi Yonasan is going to have to answer the question, what do you do with that extra Ish? Hi, Ish Ish my Ovid lay. And the Gemara answers me, Boy Le Rabos, Ashes, Cheresh, V Ashes, Shota, V Ashes, Shamu. Okay, so two out of the three I can tell you what they are. The third one is much more complicated. The first one is a Cheresh, he's a deaf mute. The second one is a Shota, who has exhibited certain kinds of Simoni Shtus. And he translates it here as deranged. Okay, I don't know. I wouldn't have called it deranged, but I guess for Art Scroll that's good enough. It doesn't mean he's deranged. It means he has a certain social limitations. You know, he does things that are socially unacceptable. Like, for example, he sleeps in a cemetery. He's one of the Simoni Shtus. I don't know if you call such a person deranged. I would definitely call him wild or odd or different. But I don't know if you'd call him deranged. I mean, you know, if you ask me whether he could be a good businessman, he's not deranged in business. And what's an Ashes Shamum? Ashes Shamum, we don't know what it is. It means bewilderment of the heart. Okay, so we're going to have to figure out what that means. And for that, we would have to learn the Minchas Knos, and the Minchal HaKerem, and the Minchas Chavera. We have a whole list of sources here to try to figure out who this Shamum person is.
He has a greater level of insanity than the Shoteh.
So in any event, let's just summarize what we have over here. What's important for us to understand is that the ribui of Ish goes in two different directions. Rav Yoshia takes it in one direction to include Shomeres Yavam in the parasha of Mei Merorim, and Rav Yonasan is coming to include the wife of either a Shota or a Cheresh or a Shiamum in the parasha of Sota. Again, you could always ask Rav Yoshia the following question: What is his position on the Eishes Cheresh, Eishes Shota, Eishes? How does he derive that? Because again, he used the extra word Ish in the Pasuk Ish to include Eishes Omeres Yavam. But the Gemara is going to ask a different question. For Rav Yoshia, Hai Tachas Isha my Ovid Le. Now this Tachas Isha, if you remember, was the second miut which Rav Yonasan built his case on. Right, he had the first miut, which was Isha Tachas Isha, and he's going to use that miut to exclude the Arusa. Now he has another miut to exclude Shomeres Yavam, and that's the miut of Tachas Ishech. So we have again Tachas Isha and Tachas Ishech. What is Rav Yoshe going to do with Tachas Isha? He had only one miut, which he used for the Arusa. And in the case of Shomeres Yavam, he had a ribui from the extra Ish to tell you that a Shomeres Yavam is in fact included in the drinking of the Mei Merorim. And now the Gemara is stuck. What is Rav Yoshe going to do with the second miut of Tachas Isha? Now again, if we go back to the Braisa, and the first opinion quoted in the Braisa was that of Rav Yoshia, he started with Tachas Ishech, and then he excluded Arusa. And that only makes sense because he's not the author of our Mishnah. If you take a look in our Mishnah, the Mishnah has a different pasuk, Isha Tachas Isha. And that's what Rabbi Yonasan used to exclude a Shomeres Yavam, Tachas Isha. Again, that's because, keep in mind that Rabbi Yonasan already has Tachas Ishech to exclude a Shomeres Yavam. So Tachas Isha is now an extra pasuk, two different psukim, and he's going to exclude a Shomeres Yavam. But what are we going to do with Rav Yoshia, who derives from Tachas Ishech the exclusion of Arusa, Tachas Ishech, and now we have another pasuk of Tachas Isha. What's he going to do with that extra pasuk, Tachas Isha? Miboyle, he needs it for a hekesh. Lahakish ish leisha v'isha leish. So when the Torah goes out of its way to say Tachas Isha, it's indicating that her status and his status is the same. So I'll give you an example of what this means. Let's say, for example, he has a certain physical limitation, and the Torah is going to tell us as a result of that physical limitation there's no parsha of Sota with regard to his wife. For example, let's say he's blind, so the Gemara is going to tell us based on Psukim in Parshas Naso and the parsha of Sota that he is not included, his wife is not included in the parsha of Sota. What happens if he has good sight but she's blind? So then, based on this hekesh, this equation between him and her, her blindness will likewise undermine the parsha of Sota. That's called a hekesh. Now at this point again, the Gemara could have asked, well, what is Rav Yonasan going to do with this? I should say it the other way around. From whence would Rav Yonasan derive this hekish? Because Rav Yonasan uses this pasuk tachas isha to exclude Shomeres Yavam, is that correct? So Shomeres Yavam, right? Tachas, right? Just to make sure I got this. Tachas Ishech, right? Rabbi Yonasan Tachas Ishech Prat L'Shomeres Yavam, and then he has Tachas Isha, which was already quoted in our Mishnah, to exclude Arusa. And if that be the case, then Tachas Isha, which he needs for the exclusion of Shomer Siyavam, is no longer free for the Hekesh of Ish L'Isha. So that's an interesting question. From whence is Rav Yonasan to derive this Hekesh, since he needs that pasuk to exclude Shomer Siyavam? Fine. Oh, now the Gemara has a brilliant, brilliant kasha on both Rav Yoshia and Rav Yochanan, because both of them are using a pasuk, whether it's Tachas Ishech or Tachas Isha, to exclude an Arusa. Now let me ask you a question. In the case of an Arusa, has she consummated her marriage yet with a physical intimacy? No, because she's in her father's jurisdiction, in her father's home. Well, if that be the case, then there's no way, no how, that she could be included in Sota, in Mei Merorim. So the Gemara says, Taima Dechsivi Hanikroi, are you telling me that I need these Psukim and these Miutim to exclude an Arusa? Halav Hochi, if I didn't have these Psukim, Hava Mina Arusa Shasya, I would have come to the conclusion that Arusa would drink. How could this be? Vaki Asar of Acha Bar Chanina Midroma, he came up from the south, right? The Chachom were mostly up in the north, you know, around the Golan, that area, wherever they were. But he came through an area of called Lud, and that's based on a Gemara elsewhere. But in any event, he came up, and what did he say? This Rav Acha, Asa v'aisei masnisa biyodei. He came from the south, and he had a brisa in his hands. And what did the brisa say? There's another pasuk here that's very relevant to our discussion about Sota. And in the parasha of Sota, it says, Mibaladei Ishech. So let's read the whole pasuk, Mibaladei Ishech. It says here, V'at kisatis tachas Ishech, v'chi nitmeis Vaitain ish boch eshav shchavto mi bilade ishech. Now the word shchavto is a reference to a sexual intimacy. In other words, the Torah is saying that she's being accused of having mi balade, so to speak. In addition to the intimacy that you had with your husband, you had an intimacy with someone else, with ish. So another man, other than your husband, had the intimacy that he had with you. That's what it says in the pasuk. And what that means is, shekadma shchivas habal leboel, that the first intimacy that she had was with her husband, and then she had an intimacy with the adulterer. Velo, to the exclusion of the opposite, shekadma shchivas boel lebal, that the first intimacy that she had was with the adulterer. Such a woman, if she did not consummate her marriage with her husband before she had this adulterous relationship, is excluded excluded from Shasir, from drinking Memorah, because it's Kadma Shrivas Boel Abal. Now, in the case of an Arusa, by definition, it's going to be Kadma Shrivas Boel Abal, because in the case of Arusa, they never consummated the marriage. She's still a virgin, if you will. So then, why do I need all these psukim of Tachas Ishech or Tachas Isha? in order to exclude an Arusa, by definition, she could not be included in the parish of Sota because of the Pasuk Mibaladei Ishech. She is, by definition, Kadma Shchivas Boel Abal. Brilliant, brilliant question. Unless we can find a scenario in which a woman is an Arusa and she consummated her relationship with an intimacy. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chama Mishkaches Lo, we can find such a case, Kigon, for example, Sheba Aleha Arus Bebeis Aviha. Now her father maybe went to sleep up in they were babysitting. I don't know exactly what happened. You can use your imagination, but somehow the Arus snuck into his fiance's house, meaning her father's house, and while they were still an Arus and an Arusa, he cohabited with her. And this is an act of znus, because up until Nisu, and until he takes her into the chuppah, he's not allowed to have a relationship with her. She lives with her father's home, and he's not allowed to consummate that relationship. But he went ahead and he did so. So you can give him, a patch for doing this. But nevertheless, she's already what we'd call kadma shchivas baal leboel. Now we're going to have to add another point over here, another premise. And that is that even though he had this relationship with her, nevertheless she remains an Arusa. The reason I say this is because one of the various methods of Nisuin is Bia, is having an intimacy. You know, you don't have to take her into the chuppah if you have intimacy. But the answer is that intimacy has to be done for the purpose of Nisuin. As we said yesterday, it's a kinyan. A kinyan requires das. And his interest here was only to enjoy the pleasures of this intimacy. So he was not interested, nor was she interested in becoming a Nesua. She therefore remains an Arusa, but it's Kadma Shchivas Baal Leboel. And therefore she would be included in the parasha of Meimararim, except for the fact that we have a drasha that says Tachas Ishech.
What is her Onesh?
Her Onesh?
Yeah.
I don't know. In fact, I'll even go further. I don't even know if that violation is Doraisa. I suspect that the violation is what's called Midivrei Sofrim. Have you ever heard that phrase, Midivrei Sofrim? There are basically three levels of prohibitions. One is Midirabbanan, that's on one polar extreme. The other prohibition is Doraisa. And in between, in the twilight zone, in between, there's something called Midivrei Sofrim, which literally means those chachamim that read and calculated the letters of Tanakh, they are called sofrim, and they derive conclusions and they institute isurim based on their understanding of various psukim in Tanakh. And that's called midivrei sofrim. Now, what is the status of midivrei sofrim? Is it Drabbanan? Is it Doraisa? I don't know. But whatever it is, it certainly would not generate 40 lashes of Malkus. So I don't know what the punishment would be. Maybe we would just give them what's called a Nazifa. Nazifa means not a Cherem exactly, but Nazifa means, you know, give them like a
reprimand.
Excellent. Reprimandment. You know, we would reprimand them.
Almost makes it worth it.
You should know, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but the Gemara in Ksuvah says that in Yehuda, they actually encouraged him to do this. Why? Because they were afraid that during the 12-month period, if they didn't have some sort of intimacy, then different things might happen. I'm not going to go into detail, but you can take a look in Ksuvah on, I think it's Daf Yud Aleph, or maybe it's Daf Yud, wherever it is over there in the first parak of Ksuvah. So that's a little bit odd. The Rambam says Ha'arus Asur Barusa Midivrei Sofrim. That's the Rambam, I think, Perek Yud Milchus Ishus. So we see that this Isur of an Arus Tarus is not the most severe Isur in the world. Again, I'm not encouraging it, don't get me wrong, but it's not a serious violation like an erva kind of relationship, but it's enough to achieve our goal of putting this arusa into the parsha of Meimararim. Why? Because now it's Kadma, Shrivas Abal, Shrivas Aboel. However, she's still an arusa. And if I need this pasuk in order to exclude an arusa, again, what exactly is that pasuk? That's going to be Amachlok Shrim Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonasar. By the way, there's a misprint here in the art scroll. I wonder if you have it also, a misprint in your art scroll. Do you see there's a little bit of an introduction here? Do you see that? If you give me your Gemara, I'll show you to show it to you. I'll give it right back. I promise I won't steal it. I know you don't trust me, but here, take a look. Do you see where it says here? This name? Ah, you have Rabbi Yonah's son. Interesting. This must be a more... What year was yours? I must have an older edition.
I just bought this.
Look what it says over here. It says Rabbi Yochanan. That's in this print.
And not Rabbi Yonah's
son. Yeah, it should be Rabbi Yonah's son. Uh-huh. There's no Rabbi Yochanan here.
Uh-huh.
But somebody must... One of the editors must have caught it.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if I can get my money back. Actually, this Gemara belongs to Rabbi Myers. But okay, then. Now we're only halfway finished here, because what about Shomeris Yavam? Shomeris Yavam means that he has not yet consummated the marriage with an intimacy, because she lives wherever she lives and he lives wherever he lives until he does Yivum. So once again, we're going to have a problem of Kadma Shriva Saboil Shriva Sabal. Now this part of the Gemara is only according to Rabbi Yonasan. Why? Because Rabbi Yonasan, if you remember, had a special drush, a special miut to exclude Shomeris Yavam, implying that if you didn't have that miut, then Shomeris Yavam would be included in the parsha of Sota. How could Shomeris Yavam be included in the parsha of Sota when it's Kadma Shrivas Boel Shrivas Baal? Well, actually, I take it back. The Gemara's kash is even according to Rabbi Yoshia, because Rabbi Yoshia holds that we have a special ribui, and Shomeris Yavam is included in the parsha of Sota. Then maybe it's an even more fundamental question. How could you possibly include Shomeris Yavam in the parsha of Sota to drink the Meimararim when it's Kadma Shkiva Saboel L'Shkiva Sabal? Because by definition, they haven't yet consummated the marriage. The Kavasa, in a similar way, we're going to have to say Gabi Shomeris Yavam Kigon Shebole Yavam Bebeis Chamiya, that the Yavam snuck into the house of his future father-in-law, which would be his brother's, his late brother's father-in-law, and there was some hanky-panky going on there. You know, he was supposedly coming over to watch the late show on television, but something else happened over there. We won't go into gory detail. But now we're really, really stuck with a problem. Why? Because in the case of an arusa, if he has this kind of promiscuous znus bia with her, she remains an arusa. But in the case of Shomeris Yavam, if he, the Yavam, has this promiscuous relationship with her,
it completes
the yivum. So how could you have a Shomeris Yavam? There's no such thing as a Shomeris Yavam who is Kadma Shchivas HaBaal, Shchivas HaBoel, and she still remains the Shomeris Yavam. Again, we have an entity called Shomeris Yavam as far as Sota is concerned, but we need a special pasuk to include her according to Rav Yoshia, or to exclude her according to Rav Yonah's son, because if in the absence of this pasuk, we would have her included in the parsha of Sota, or after the pasuk we're going to include her in the parsha of Sota. How can we possibly include a Shomeris Yavam in the parsha of Sota when it's Kadma Shchivas Boel L'Shchivas Baal? And there's no way, no how, that she could be a Shomeris Yavam, and at the same time you could have a Kadma Shchivas Baal L'Shchivas Boel, because if the Baal had beer with her, she's no longer a Yavama. In fact, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, the Gemara in Yavama says if he fell off a roof and he accidentally fell on his Yavama, and again, I don't know how you would orchestrate that. You know, you have to be pretty clever. Maybe get a, this would be a nice YouTube, but anyway, probably it'd be go v- viral. You know what I'm saying? But he falls from a roof, the Gemara says, and he has bia with the Yavama, unbeknown to him. She's a full-fledged Eishes Ish. She's no longer Yavama. Forget about Chalitza. The only way you can terminate that relationship is with a get. So if this man, the Yavam, had this promiscuous relationship, he snuck into his future father-in-law's house and he had a beer with her, then she's no longer Yavama. Pella, this Gemara. Wow. That's why I get excited about this Gemara.
He loses his Chalitza.
Correct. Chalitza is no longer an option. She's a full-fledged Eishes Ish. You can't talk about Shomer's Yavam.
Right.
Shomer's Yavam is a woman who, if you give a Chalitza, she's allowed to marry anyone else.
Right.
So he says the kavasa, the parallel to Oris Kavishmeres Yavam would be Kagon Shibale Yavam Bebeis Chamia. Wait a minute. Hashomeres Yavam Karisle? The Gemara asks a rhetorical question. You're going to call her a Shomeres Yavam? Ishto Ma'aliyasahi. She's a full fledged Eishes Ish. Diyama Rav. Rav says Kanala Kol. Okay, we're going to spend a little time here on the words Kanala Kol. Kanala Kol means that his relationship, his intimacy with her, the Yavam, with the Yavama, creates a full-fledged kinyan. She's an absolute Eishes Ish in every single sense, even though he did it promiscuously. And what that means is that all the laws of marriage will now apply. Let's go through some of the laws. Number one, if he wants to terminate the relationship, she needs a get. Chalitza is completely unacceptable. What else? Just one second here. There should be a list here in one of the footnotes. Let me just see. Oh, take a look at footnote number 11. He lists all the implications here, about four lines down into footnote number 11. He says, here are some of the practical ramifications. Number one, let's say the Yavam is a Kohen. And now the Yavam had this promiscuous relationship with the Yavama. She can eat Truma, even though her father is Yisrael. Now, the Bas Yisrael could only eat Truma if she's married to a Kohen.
Right.
So, for example, a Shomeris Yavam, who's now back in her father's domain, she does not eat Truma because her father's Yisrael. But now that he had this promiscuous relationship, right, he came over to watch the midnight thing, so then she can now eat Truma. Because Rav holds Karnal HaKol. Number two, if she dies, he, the Yavam, will inherit her. Had she died before this promiscuous relationship, then her father would inherit her. But now he inherits her. Number three, let's say he's a Kohen, and he wants to go to her funeral. Now the law is that a Kohen goes to the funeral of his wife. She is his wife. And the Kohen is allowed to be Metame himself to marry his wife. And finally, which is our sugi here, she's a full-fledged Eishes Ish as far as the laws of Sota, which means that she shows some Mimei Merorin. So again, there's no Chalitza, there's Get. If she is married to a Kohen, meaning if the Yavam is a Kohen and her father is a Yisrael, she will eat Truma. If she dies, her husband now, because he's no longer Yavam, now he's her husband, will inherit her possessions, and if he's a Kohen, he will be Metamito, and she drinks the Mei Merorin. So in every sense, she is a full-fledged Eishes Ish.
Do we believe him if he says he had relations with her? It's a tough proof, no?
Oof. So I'm thinking now, let me go through one by one. As far as Shavya Nafshecha Tichadi Surah, so that would apply. Now the Yorshim are claiming that he didn't have this relationship and he wants to inherit the estate when she dies. So the burden of proof is on him. Just one sec, let me think this out. Let's say, for example, her chazaka was that all she needed was chalitza. And now he's claiming he had beer with her. So let me ask you a different question, Dave. Let's say in a case of an arusa, Does he need two witnesses to make her into an Nesua? Let's say he claims he had beer with her in private.
But that's different. She's still a Rusa.
No, I'm saying, let's say he says that he had beer with her L'shem Nesuin. Is he believed? I'm just in general, I mean.
L'shem Nesuin, then.
Not our case. I'm just asking in general. Well, no, he can. If he has relations with her, he doesn't need a chuppah.
Right, he's already married.
But does he need Eidim? Let me just remember, I think he does need Eidim. Let me just think for a second. If we say that Nesuin is a Kenyan, then for sure he needs Eidim. But what about Yibum? Does Yibum require Eidim? Because Yibum is not a Kenyan, as we said before. It's not like Mesira.
It doesn't make sense that if he has Biyah and that consummates,
yeah,
that there should have to have Eidim.
No, but it's complicated. I'll tell you, you're right. You're both right. You're right, and you're right. There's no need for Eidim. But you're right, David, that you need Eidim in order to prove. In other words, she's an Eishes Ish. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he had this relationship with her. But in our Batei Din down on earth, we're going to require Eidim. I'll tell you why. Because her chazaka, the assumption that we have here is that she only needs chalitza, and if she dies, that the Arshim have rights to inherit her estate. If you want to change that chazaka, you need two witnesses
or pregnancy.
Don't know, because see, pregnancy is kind of hard. They didn't have DNA testing, so we don't know who the boel was in a case of pregnancy.
I guess if she has it at least, say 4 or 5 months after the husband
but it could have been,
as she starts to show signs.
No, but it could have been. Oh, you mean to say that she was pregnant from her previous husband?
No, she's pregnant from this new husband.
Well, again, it could have been anybody. Anybody could have. You follow what I'm saying? We don't have DNA testing.
You wouldn't naturally give a chazaka to the Yavum?
I don't know, because the Yavum is not allowed to have this relationship with her until he does Yibum, you know, for the sake of Yibum. I don't know. I'm just saying, you're raising a question. If I would formulate your question in my terminology, it would be whether Yibum is a Davar Sheba'erva. Because we have a principle that a Davar Sheba'erva requires two witnesses. So for example, Kiddushin requires two witnesses and Gerushin requires two witnesses. What would be, and Chalitza would require two witnesses, that's a Davar Sheba'erva. But what about Yibum itself? You know, on the one hand, I'm inclined to think
falling off the building, he didn't have to have witnesses that he fell off the building.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, for that you'd have to learn Masechet Yevamos.
Yibum is important.
Ask me in about 2 years. I hope to learn Yevamos. I mean,
Yibum is
if I'll be still in, if I won't be in an insane asylum by then, just to get through Erevin. But anyway, yeah,
it's an automatic status, Yibum. They shouldn't have to have any.
But it's a Davar Sheba'erva. I'll tell you why it's a Davar Sheba'erva. Because her status until now is Chayvei Lavim, let's say. Let's go according to that, Mandiyom. You remember? Whereas she becomes an Erva only through the consummation of the Yibum. So that consummation of the Yibum, in addition to being a mitzvah of Yibum, also changes her status and she becomes an Erva. So I would think that you need two witnesses for that. But again, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a long piece in Reb Chaim in the Sefer about this, where the Yibum is a Davar Sheba'erva. I think it is, but you caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared for that question. So again, Rabbi Osai, how do we have a situation where Kadma Be'ilas Habal Be'ilas HaYavam, I'm sorry, Be'ilas HaBoel, and yet she's not a Yavama? She's still a Yavama, and she's not an Eishes Ish. So the Gemara says, according to Rav, it's impossible. Impossible. Unmeglech, as we say in Yiddish. Right? So the Gemara says, Kishmuel, but Shmuel disagrees with Rav. The Omar, Shmuel claims, Lo kana el lidvar ma'amurim b'parsha. So the parsha of Yibum tells us that after the Yibum is implemented, she needs a get, and the chalitza will not suffice. But there are other matters, other relevant issues that are not mentioned in the parasha of Yibum. For example, if the Yavam is a Kohen, would she be allowed to eat truma when her father is Yisrael? And the answer is no, according to Shmuel. Why? Because this bia that she had with the Yavam was not a bias yibum. Very complicated. You know, for this you really have to introduce Reb Chaim Brisker he has to be invited into our classroom. Mm-hmm. Because Reb Chaim is going to have to answer the following question. She's an Eishes Ish. She needs a get. If somebody would have a relationship with her, he's Chaim Skila. And yet, you're telling me that she can't eat Truma. Because somehow the Kinyan is not complete. And Rabosa, I come back to the point that I've made over and over and over again, that Ishus has so many different levels. We're now up to the 99.9th level, but we're not there. We're still not at 100% according to Shmuel. Meaning that if a Yavam would have a Bias Yibum, then for sure she's an Eishes Ish L'chol Dover, and she could certainly eat Truma. But in this case where she had a Bias Nus, which is not called a Bias Yibum, it wasn't L'shem Mitzvah, it was just for personal pleasure, in such a case she's just one hair's breadth away from being an Eishes Ish. And that hair's breadth is enough to take her out of the Parsha of Sotah.
Wow.
And why is she in the Parsha of Sotah? Because she's not a full-fledged 100%.
She didn't have the kavana.
Because they did it for promiscuous
right.
purposes.
Right.
So again, this machlokas Rav and Shmuel is deep, deep in Yavamis. You know, you have to have your feet, you know, the mud is coming up to your knees here in Yavamis here. As I told you, Yavamis is still a couple of years away. I studied Yavamis when I was 18 in my first year in yeshiva. And I remember how difficult it was. Then Yevamis is really profound. But this is one of the most profound sugyas in Yevamis, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav is saying that the bia itself, I don't care what the kavana was, what its intentions, that makes her into an Eishes Ish L'chol Dover. There's no hair's breadth of a difference between her and a married woman. She's an Eishes Ish Gmura. That means that if he, you know, he will inherit her, he'll be metamila. If she has a bia, then it's a bias chiv misa. If she has an adulterous relationship and she needs a get, then chalitza won't help. And if she's married to a kohen, she'll eat truma the whole nine yards. Everything. Everything is clinched by virtue of the fact that he had the bia with her. That's the sheet of Rav. And Shmuel says, l'dvarim amurim b'parsha, which means that there's certain things that will not be included in her status as an Eishes Ish, because the bia was not a bias yibum, it was a bias nus.
So Shmuel wouldn't hold by the building story, by the falling from the building. Unless
he would, but she would not eat truma.
Right. Unless he had good intentions and witnesses.
No, I'm just saying he fell from the roof. He didn't have any intention. Shmuel would say that she's an Eishes Ish. She needs a get. Chalitza wouldn't help. If somebody had beer with her, he'd be chayv misa. She's an Eishes Ish, except for something that's not written in the parasha. What's not written in the parasha? Her ability to eat truma if she's married to a kohen. And that alone is enough to take her out of the parasha of Sotah. Hmm. What time is it?
10:33.
Okay, so we'll have to stop here, although I needed to go a few lines long, but we'll pick it up tomorrow. It'll be a good opportunity to review what we did today, Mirz Hashem, tomorrow. Okay, then? So everyone should have a great day.
Interesting.
Whoa, we're getting into some real heavy issues here. Okay.